Good afternoon. I'd like to call House Judiciary Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, February 17th, and let the record reflect that it is 1:30 p.m. Today we have present Representative Johnson, Representative Groh, Representative Eastman, Representative Gray, Vice Chair Allard, and myself, Chair Vance. I'd like to remind committee members and those in the audience to please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Sophia Tenney with House Records and Lisa Denny with from the Juno LIO. Thank you so much. On today's agenda, the committee will take up House Joint Resolution 3, Concealed Handgun Reciprocity Between States by Representative Rauscher. We will take up this resolution and consider a conceptual amendment. I'd like to invite Representative Rauscher and his staff to the table. Welcome. Please state your name for the record, and please update the committee on this resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee for hearing this bill again today. Appreciate it very much. HJR3, it's basically it's a resolution that speaks to Congress about a bill that they're trying to pass there for past many years, and basically what we're doing is we're trying to have some reciprocity across the states, the lower 58 or lower 48, on concealed carry. And there's a myriad of states that have concealed carry permitting and just open carry or concealed carry without a permit. And so what we're trying to do is get some reciprocity across the states. All 50 states, by the way, have a concealed carry permit. I mean, concealed carry laws in their state. I don't know whether you all know that or not. But every state in the United States has concealed carry laws, which they're able to at certain degrees, one level or another. And basically what this is just trying to do is get some reciprocity from state to state in lower 48. Thank you.
For the record, Ryan.
Oh, did I give my name? I'm sorry. I apologize. Madam Chair, this is Representative George Rauscher, District 29, and I humbly apologize.
All right. For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative George Rauscher. So we had a couple of questions last time, and so I'd like to just put on the record and clarify some of the statements, and then if other representatives have questions, happy to address those. So the first one was, do non-residents visiting a state have to abide by the conceal and carry laws of that state? Yes, they do. HR 38 allows individuals with concealed carry privileges in their home state to exercise those rights in any other state that allows concealed carry while still abiding by the state's laws. The goal of the bill is to reduce the confusion and legal inconsistencies for responsible gun owners when they travel outside their home state. But they still also respect the state's rights to set their own laws. And then the second question we had is if a state decided to just completely ban all conceal and carry permits in their state, would they still then have to allow other non-residents coming in who have permits from other states? And no, they wouldn't. Now, the caveat on that is if a state did just completely eliminate all of their concealed carry permits, the likelihood is they would have be litigated and face judicial scrutiny. So whether or not they would actually be able to maintain simply eliminating all bans or all permits, it's up to the Supreme Court and the judicial branch to decide if they actually could do that. But if they were allowed to do that, then yeah, they would not have to abide by this reciprocity legislation. But at this point right now, they would have to. And that's it for the questions.
Thank you. I will now take questions from committee members. I would like to note that we do have Captain Cornelius Sims from the Alaska State Troopers online available if there are any questions. Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, to the answer to the first question, what I heard was that you have to obey the laws regarding concealed carry permit of your home state and also of the new of the state that you're traveling through. How is that different than what the policy is right now?
All right. For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Rep. Rauscher, through the chair, Representative Gray. The difference is, for example, California is a May permit state, meaning that it's up to the state to decide whether they deem you able to have a permit versus other states like Alaska, which doesn't even have one, or you can apply. So what this would do is say that if a non-resident travels to California, for example, they would have to abide by the laws of the people who are deemed able to carry a permit in the state of California, not necessarily the state that they're originally from.
Follow up. Thank you. So through the chair, I had asked a hypothetical question at the last hearing about someone under the age of what we allow here, which is 21. And ultimately, I did some research. Vermont allows concealed carry permits to 16-year-olds. Although federal law says 18, Vermont, they allow 16-year-olds. It turns out that there's 18 states in the United States that allow concealed carry permits to 18-year-olds. So my understanding is that although Alaska says you must be 21, that any 18 to 20-year-olds traveling from those states through Alaska would be able to have a concealed carry permit, whereas our 18, 19, 20-year-olds would not. Is that correct?
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Rep. Rauscher, through the chair, Representative Gray, if you can legally obtain a permit from, say, Alaska, for example, once you get to the Vermont, you would still have to abide by those laws. So if the law in that state states that you have to be 21, then if you have a permit from another state that says that you can be younger than that, then you could not conceal and carry in the visiting state because it's up to their local state laws. You have to follow those. And if they state that you have to be 21 to conceal and carry, then you would have to follow those laws.
I'm sorry. I must not have been clear. Yeah, follow up. Students, 18-year-old students who travel to Alaska for an academic event or a sporting event, they have concealed carry permits because they're 18 years of age in one of the 18 states that allows it. They could bring their concealed carry. They could conceal carry when they come to Alaska for that academic event or sporting event, etc. And they could carry, whereas our 18-year-olds could not. That's my question. Is that my correct understanding of what this legislation would do?
Through the chair, I'd like to turn that over to our captain from the state troopers. I don't believe so. I believe once they come here, you have to follow the laws of this state. And currently, you can open carry, but you cannot conceal and carry at 18. But I'll turn that over to our captain.
Captain, please state your name and affiliation for the record. If you could answer Representative Gray's question.
So the Alaska State Troopers. Okay. Yes, this is Captain Sims, Alaska State Troopers. And through the chair, my understanding is, as was stated, that, and I'm looking it up as just to confirm that you would have to obey the Alaska's laws. You have to obey Alaska law and have be 21 in order to carry concealed in the state of Alaska, even if you have a permit from somewhere else.
Follow up.
So can you explain what this piece of federal legislation does as far as reciprocity? How are people having reciprocity with Alaska if they are allowed to do something in their home state, but they won't be allowed to do it in Alaska? Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Gray, this is more aimed at states that have issue permits. So for our Alaska residents, we have pretty, I would say, lax laws. You can get a permit for a conceal and carry, but it's not required here in the state as long as you're 21. But for our 21 and up people that are going outside and traveling to states like New Jersey, California, and others, they would still be carrying illegally. So this would allow them to carry through these states, but still they would have to abide by the laws in each state for those permit holders.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair. I think to answer your question, if you were to leave a state where you're able to conceal carry, okay, and you go to another state, this actual legislation says you have to have documentation to be able to do that. Okay, so then that's where the reciprocity, they have to accept the fact that you have documentation. That's what this law does. It gives you the right with your documentation to prove you've already done to whatever level you came from. You see what I mean? To acquire your license.
One moment. I'd like to let the record reflect that at 1:38 p.m. that we were joined by Representative Carpenter, Representative Gray.
Thanks. Through the chair. I'm hearing some contradiction. If you are an 18-year-old in one of the 18 states that allows a concealed carry and you have a valid concealed carry permit, what I'm hearing is that that permit would not be valid in Alaska because you have to follow Alaska law. That's what I heard the trooper say. So that would mean that this reciprocity would not apply to a concealed carry permit to someone under the age of 21 if you were in Alaska, because although it may be a valid concealed carry permit in other states, we would not allow it. And so in other words, this would be a case where I have my valid concealed carry permit and I have my weapon, and we would say, we're sorry, that's against the law here. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, through the chair to Representative Gray. In other words, if you go to a state, they're not going to have to take a test and retest, so you can get a piece of paper so you can carry that in a state which allows you to carry, because you have already got a documentation on you that says you can, but you still have to obey all the laws in the state which you're occupying. So, which is why we said someone from the state that you mentioned was to come to Alaska, he's not old enough, would not be able to do that legally here in this state, because we don't legally allow that in the state. You see, you understand what we're talking about.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, I think I do understand, and I guess what I'm hearing is that this resolution is much more limited than we initially understood it. It's not saying that the state with the least requirements becomes everyone's least requirements. It's saying that you have to follow the laws of the state that you're in with regard to concealed carry, which I think for the most part is what we currently have, which is why we have people who got in trouble for, you know, the story that was told at the last one. And this would kind of, I think that there, what I'm hearing is that the legislation is more limited than I thought. So thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, through the chair to Representative Andrew Gray, I appreciate that. Yes, it is. It's a little more than just a blanket. We go with the lowest denominator, and that applies across the United States. That's correct.
So Representative Rauscher, would you consider this reciprocity similar to having a state driver's license and you're traveling to a different state and you were required to abide by their speed limits, their safety laws, but your Alaska driver's license is still a valid document to drive in a different state, but you still have to abide by those states' road and driving laws?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, I'm going to fend this one off to the trooper, because he would be the one making that call when he pulled you over. I'll just do that. Thank you.
Captain, if you could state your name and affiliation again for the record. And by principle, is this a similar principle of reciprocity across states as we would consider a state driver's license?
Yes, through the chair, this is Captain Sims with Alaska State Troopers, and that was probably, that was a great analogy. I was shaking my head as you were stating that yes, if I take my driver's license to Arizona, I have to obey Arizona laws. I can drive in their state, I just have to obey, you know, their speed limit laws if they may be different in a residential area than what they are in Alaska. So I would still have to obey the laws in other states.
Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And through the chair, you know, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think that goes back to some of the discussion we had in the previous meeting. But I'll say, having heard the sponsor statement, having heard the statement from the troopers, having read the language, I'm very sympathetic with the line of questioning from Representative Gray, because I see the argument being made in the resolution on page 2 in the second whereas is a constitutional article 4, section 1, which requires each state to recognize the records and documents of other states. And it actually specifically mentions driver's licenses in the third whereas on page 2. But that is not the way that we are talking about this applying in this situation. So there is a contradiction in so many ways, because we're not talking about speed limits. Maybe in our last meeting we were talking about speed limits being different and having to abide by those, you know, differences in each state. But what I heard at the beginning of this meeting was that it's not about the speed limits, it's about the requirements for obtaining the license. It was about an age requirement, and that age requirement not being recognized in, you know, one state where, like Alaska, you know, the age might be 21, and in Vermont it might be 16. And we're saying, I mean, the argument we're making is that we in Alaska are required to recognize the document from Vermont because that's what the Constitution, you know, says. But I'm hearing that we're not going to recognize it because it's a 16-year-old or a 17 or a 20-year-old, and we have a requirement that's different here. It's 21 years old. And so I'm hearing two very different arguments made. I mean, is that, I guess the question to the sponsor and to the troopers is going to be, is that the way that we handle driver's licenses? If someone has a driver's license from a state that allows you to have a driver's license at 15, and you're in another state that requires you to be 16, do we tell that person, no, you're not allowed to drive here, we're going to take your license, or, you know, we're going to give you a ticket because you're driving illegally because the driver's license you received and your age don't qualify under our state's laws?
Well, I believe that we should keep the questions specific to the reciprocity for firearms.
Well, we're making the argument here that this is the way we deal with driver's licenses. Are we dealing with driver's licenses the same way that we're dealing with reciprocity for firearms? Or are we trying to do something very different with this type of reciprocity?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Representative David Eastman. I guess everybody's wrapping their head around it a little differently in their understanding. But my understanding is, if you have a driver's license in Alaska, and you have a gentleman with a driver's license in Vermont, was it 16? And he was to take his driver's license to Alaska and want to purchase a handgun, or let's say a rifle, he could probably, obviously, probably could do that. And he also invokes the idea that he could have a background check. Now, if he was to go to a state where you can't even buy a rifle, I mean, this is all figurative, that can't buy a rifle until you're 21, they would say, no, I'm sorry, you have a driver's license that says you're qualified to buy a gun in the state you're from, but you're not qualified to buy it here. And I think that's more or less what we're saying here. So you have a permit, you have documentation saying that you're able to carry this concealed weapon. Let's just pick a state for the sake of the argument, and we'll say it's Montana, and you're allowed to do that in Montana, but you go to another state, let's just say it's New Jersey, where they won't let you do it at that age or with other qualifications, then you won't be able to carry it as you wish. But if you were to have all those qualifications that they will allow you to carry in New Jersey, then you still have to abide by all the laws in New Jersey, even though those laws probably never exist in Montana, as far as where you can carry it, I don't know, maybe after hours or a church or a state courthouse or whatever. So every state has different laws that way. But if you aren't allowed to carry it in the state because of your age or because of something else that disqualifies you, I would say you probably couldn't carry it in that state. And I don't have the exact reason. We use 16 in this case, and I'm just going to use that one as what we're talking about. But and there could be other mitigating factors. If the trooper, the representative from the troopers, would like to confirm what I said or argue with me, that's fine. But I believe that's what we're trying to say through the chair.
Captain Sims, are you available for the question?
Captain Sims, through the chair, I don't have. Guess I'm not going to argue the statement that was made just then. No.
Thank you.
And I am looking to confirm the reciprocity as it comes back to Alaska, just to make sure we're all on the same page here.
I appreciate that, Captain. Vice Chair Allard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair. So I have a little bit, if you give me a little bit of leeway. I've noticed we're making a couple of comments. And so, one, we have the ability to have a driver's permit at 14, and I know for a fact that's not allowed in a lot of the states. So the other thing I wanted to bring up was that we argue the fact that the U.S. Constitution says one thing, but I find that sometimes that is only used if we want something. What I mean by that is in the state of Alaska, we can smoke marijuana. The federal government says we can't, so we want less government. Not that I agree with marijuana, not that I'm for or against, but my point is that we are looking at less government, and we do have a republic that allows our states to decide what works best for them. So that's all. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, it actually leaps right out of Vice Chair Allard. I want to ask right now, we do have reciprocity. There is reciprocity for concealed carry on the books. It's just not every state recognizes the concealed carry permits from other states. So, for example, Washington State does not recognize Alaska concealed carry permits. And the reason why is because they feel that our mental health background check is insufficient. So in Alaska, we offer in-person courses here so you can obtain a Utah concealed carry permit that would be valid in Washington State. So this is the workaround. If you're an Alaskan and you would like to conceal carry in Washington, you can pay for this course to be given in person in Alaska and obtain a Utah concealed carry permit that would be valid in Washington State. So my question is, would this federal reciprocity change what we already have to do, which is go get our Utah concealed carry permits so that we can go into Washington? Or would it not change it at all? And then that, to me, brings back the case of I'm not sure what this law would do. Thank you.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, I do not have an answer for the question.
Captain Sims, are you available to answer if this would change our current practice with reciprocity in training?
Captain Sims, through the chair, I do not have an answer to that question.
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Rep. Rauscher. Through the chair, Representative Gray, I can reach out to the congressman and get that answer for you, and then I'll send that to Chair Vance, and she can share it with the committee.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions from the committee, we do have a conceptual amendment proposed by Representative Eastman.
Madam Chair, I will move conceptual amendment number one.
I object. I object to the purposes of discussion, please.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And there were about four different sections that we looked at, which the language could be clarified, in some cases shortened, and we could be more legally accurate. I think there was some confusion in our first hearing of the bill. So the language here is for the purpose of being both legally accurate and is clear or more clear than it might have been stated in the past. And I value the discussion we just had. It doesn't change anything in this language, but there still remains some questions to be answered. I give you that. Hopefully this conceptual amendment will limit the confusion for someone who's reading the bill and understanding what it is we're trying to achieve.
Representative Rauscher, do you consider this a friendly amendment?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, yes, I do.
Vice Chair Allard, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Brief at ease. Record. We gave members a brief moment to read through the conceptual amendment. Representative Eastman, would you please explain your amendment?
Yes. The amendment here, the heart of it is on the first page in the third section, beginning page 2, line 18, where we try to accurately put into words, which was not the easiest thing to do, what it is that we're trying to accomplish if this resolution passes and a law in Congress passes. And one of the things that came up for discussion was, well, what happens if the bill, changes between our passing our resolution and it passing in Congress? And so we wanted to capture the heart of what it is that we're hoping Congress does. And, of course, whether they use this particular bill or some other bill is kind of beside the point. And also to be as legally accurate as possible, so that you can see the bolded portion here just grabs the words straight from the Constitution. We're referencing the Constitution that whereas already. It grabs that language dealing with records. The word in the Constitution is records, not documents, so that we're not trying to change the meaning, but we're trying to be as accurate as possible. And the language in the Constitution is also approved and the effect thereof. So Congress has the ability to basically explain how it is that a trooper in Alaska can verify that, the concealed carry license or driver's license that they're looking at from another state is, in fact, something that they should consider valid. And then you also see, some of the other areas is a bill that accomplishes this. And that's, again, just to highlight that if it's, H.R. 38 in Congress, or if it's another bill, either in this Congress or next Congress, as long as it accomplishes this goal, then it's something that, we're asking them to support. Whether, it's whatever number the bill is not the main issue. The main issue is that it accomplishes this type of reciprocity.
Vice Chair Allard.
Thank you. And Representative Eastman, thank you for bringing this forward. I do like it. But just in all transparency, Madam Chair, I know we went into a brief at ease, and I just wanted to let the public know that it was just a matter of myself discussing with Representative Eastman and Gray that we just wanted a couple minutes to read it. There was no other discussion behind the scene that was relevant to it other than we just needed a moment. So thank you for that, Madam Chair.
Representative Gray.
Through the chair, I have a question about adding the word proved. Determine how those records will be proved. I'm just curious as to what's all involved in that.
Yeah, I can take a stab at that. So the concept behind the Constitution is that you have multiple documents, driver's licenses will take different forms, they'll look different, they'll have different colors, and Congress establishes, what are those baseline requirements in order for a trooper in Alaska to be required, not optional, but required to look at a driver's license from Virginia and say, okay, I have to consider that value valid. Whether they want to or not is beside the issue. And the whole point of putting this in federal law is that we're, in essence, removing some discretion from
a trooper in some state to be able to say, well, you know, I don't personally feel like I want to recognize the Virginia driver's license today. That's not the discretion that they're permitted. And so the law passed by Congress will specify what it is that the trooper in Alaska is required to do. And the two aspects of it are to demonstrate that it's valid. You know, what do I have to do to demonstrate that the document that I'm carrying is, in fact, a valid document? And then also, all right, now that we know it's valid, well, what do I have to do about it? And we just had the discussion earlier, well, Alaska State Trooper, you know, is going to look at that valid concealed carry document, and now they're going to be required to do something about that. In this case, they're going to be required to, you know, treat that permit holder the same as you would an Alaska permit holder. And I think that's the whole idea behind the reciprocity. It's a great question.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. So I think that really draws attention to the heart of the matter. When I have this list of all the reasons why Washington doesn't recognize other concealed carry permits, you know, one, like Alaska doesn't have the correct mental health background check. Delaware doesn't have the correct criminal background check. You know, another one doesn't have the right fingerprint background check. So essentially proving that this license is valid, there would need to be, in my opinion, some sort of federal baseline for what constitutes a concealed carry permit. That, I mean, I think that's what people's fear are about this, is that somehow the least restrictive state would then be determining what was required for everyone else, if that makes sense.
Representative, Vice Chair Allard, do you maintain your objection? Oh, excuse me.
Before, thank you, Madam Chair, before we do, just in terms of clarity, we go through this. So basically you'd say, let's take the first one. The first whereas would be deleted, and then revised would, and this is for the drafters, for clarity for them. And then the second one would be added. And so anything that says the first whereas and revised would be the add. And the first one would be deleted. And that's just so that when they draft it, they've got some clarity on, because I was confused when I first read it. So there's some clarity for the drafters when they actually put this in the amendment. So.
Yes, thank you, Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I withdraw my objection.
Seeing no further objections, does anyone else have are there any further objections? Seeing no further objection.
Is there a comment period, or are we about to get into that?
Do you need a wrap up on your conceptual amendment, Representative Eastman?
No, that there was no objection, so I think we're done with that. At some point, there'll be a comment period for the rest of the bill. That's kind of what I'm asking about.
Okay, we're still on the amendment. Seeing there's no further objection on conceptual amendment number one, it passes, and the conceptual amendment. The conceptual amended resolution, HDR 3, is before us. Are there any further comments by the sponsor of the bill?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rauscher, to the chair, to the committee through the chair. This is a resolution, which is basically our speak to Washington. We are not crafting the legislation that they're going to pass. We cannot craft the legislation that they're going to pass. So I understand the amendments to doesn't end up something that we would totally abhor. And I get that, and I appreciate the amendment. So basically, this is just our speak to Congress saying that we support the fact that you're working on this bill, and we'd like to make it look similar to this when you're done with it. And that's basically all we're really doing here, because other states are going to be testifying also in a letter to U.S. Congress, and they're going to give their opinion on how they address and would like Congress to address this. So that's basically what this is. A resolution is a letter to Congress giving them our opinion on why we think they should be moving forward with this bill. And I just wanted to clarify what we're doing, because I know we hear a lot of talk here about how we want to craft this. We want to make sure this happens and that happens. I just want you to know we're not going to be able to write the bill. We just wanted to make enough sideboards in what we said. So we say, well, you know, it really didn't turn out like we asked, and we wish it would have. But anyway, so.
Thank you for that clarification, Representative Rauscher, and for the presentation. Do we have any comments by committee members before we take action on this bill? Representative Eastman.
Go ahead. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. Appreciate the resolution. Appreciate the conversation. I look forward to hearing some more information if we can get those earlier questions answered. I think there's a couple of things going on here. I think that's partly underlying some of the confusion. You know, I see this ask to Congress as basically asking for recognition of an out-of-state concealed carry permit that doesn't actually change, how the person will be treated, because the person will still be treated by the rules and regulations and mental health checks and everything else of the state that they're in at the time. And it would seem to me that that's all well and good, but it also doesn't seem to fulfill the thrust of the argument for the Constitution. The Constitution is arguing that, you know, a document in one state it should be recognized by the other state, and doesn't really have a proviso for, you know, but treat them the same as you treat them in the first state. In other words, the person who doesn't have the mental health check is treated like they don't have a concealed carry permit at all. Okay, now you're just not recognizing the document. You're just saying, well, we recognize it, but we're not going to actually apply it, which seems very confusing. Whereas if you deal with things like driver's license, if you deal with things like marriage licenses, you know, other types of licenses, the age requirements, amount of time and hours, you know, required to get that license could be different one state to the next. But I think the general theme is you recognize the driver, whether they're 15 or 16, because they have a valid driver's license, regardless of what state they're in. You recognize the marriage is valid, whether or not they got married in the state where you can get married at 16, or they got married in the state where you can't get married until you're 18 or what have you. It's the document itself that's saying, hey, we're married. And the idea of trying to apply a marriage license or a driver's license or any other type of license in the way that we're trying to apply concealed carry license here sounds somewhat incoherent. So with that, I will simply say I think there's room for us to take a much more robust application of the Constitution in this resolution, and we're not going there. Thank you.
Any further comments by committee members? I will now entertain a motion by Vice Chair Allard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Joint Resolution 3, version 33-LS0159B, as a conceptual amended from the committee with the attached zero fiscal note, and ask LEG Legal to make the necessary technical and conforming changes.
Seeing and hearing no objection, House Joint Resolution 3 moves from the committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Back on record, and we have signed the appropriate paperwork for House Joint Resolution 3. That concludes our business today. The House Judiciary Committee will meet again on Monday, February 20th at 1:30 p.m. to hear a presentation on adverse childhood experiences, also known as ACEs, by the Alaska Children's Trust. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect, it's 2:14 p.m.